Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
It's a pleasure to be up here again once more. I will go ahead and apologize. My voice is pretty weak tonight, so I'll go as long as I can. I'd like to say thank you to Brian for the opportunity to come forth tonight to take a portion of your time up here at the pulpit. I ask this night that you turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We will be reading verse 19. Ephesians 5, verse 19. The Bible reads as such, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. An important part of our worship is singing. We can dedicate almost two-thirds of each of our services to this very act of worship. But singing to a Christian goes much further than that. I can go throughout the week and I hear spiritual songs. I sing spiritual songs. And these are the things that get me through to my next time I can come to worship. To give me that boost of adrenaline. To give me that ease to my soul. To give me that relationship I have with God. If we read our Bibles, and we especially turn to the Old Testament, we see that singing spiritual songs was very important to the Jews. We see that it had a special meaning, and that each word and each song that was sung was heartfelt. It meant something to them. Well, we can read in Psalms 146, verses 1 and 2. Just some of the meaning that they had behind them. Psalm 146, 1 and 2 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth do change, and though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas. Psalm 146, 1 and 2. We see that the Jews of old had a very special meaning in the verses that they wrote and the songs that they sang. And that they had a very confidence of what they felt that each song was about. You know, it's not too difficult to pair that to a New Testament Christian. That as a New Testament Christian, we sing the songs that we sing in our hymnals. And that as we sing these songs, they mean a very special thing to us. We take refuge in the words that we sing. The emotion that we get out of every song. So we see that as Jews of old, New Testament Christians connect to God through the avenue of singing. Christians were taught in the New Testament that this is the same application. James 5:13 says, if there's any of you suffering, let him pray. If there are any of you cheerful, please let them sing songs. Singing. A connection for Christians. But there are so many indications these days. As we travel around and as we visit other churches, we see that maybe singing doesn't mean that much to us anymore. Maybe we've lost that zeal. The very thing that puts us and ties us together with God in the avenue of worship. We can see sometimes that Christians sing with no emotion. I don't see how. Sometimes we see that Christians even mouth the words and don't even attempt to sing. Well, you say, but Brother Jeff, I'm not a great singer. But I promise you this, that if you sing with heartfelt emotion, that if you sing with every part of your being concentrating on the words that is in front of you, and you have that connection, I'll tell you, the only person that that matters to is God. And you can sing the worst in the world, but that will be the most pleasurable thing to our God. I used to preach at a congregation. And one of the complaints that I had about one of our Bible teachers was that every morning when he came in for service, he started his Bible lesson with a song. I really didn't see a problem with that. But others came and said, you know what, this is taking up too much time of our Bible lesson. Were they in the right frame of mind? Did they see the emphasis of what it actually meant to sing spiritual songs? Well, hopefully, by the end of this lesson tonight, we will relook at what it actually means to sing, to have that connection. Why does things exist like this? I ask why. It's because we've lost something. We've lost the emotion that we have when we sing and the true purpose of what we sing. So I'm going to ask you this evening, what is the purpose of singing? And then I'm going to ask you something to go a little bit deeper in your thought. How do we get more out of what we sing? First, let's look at the purpose of singing. We see that in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, that we have two men here who are in prison, Paul and Silas. Some of the most dreary things that ever could happen to a man would be to be locked away with no freedom. But what did Paul and Silas do in this very time? Well, the verse tells us they were singing, praying, giving all thanks to God through spiritual psalms and hymns. This is the most popular concept of why we sing, to give praise to the one God and creator and sustainer of all life. That's why we sing. Most people say, well, why don't you have musical instruments to accompany you? Won't that bring out a little bit more in your singing? If we truly look at why we sing, you'll see that the reason why we don't. Indeed, certainly, the idea of singing is in the very word of hymn itself. That if we examine the Greek here, we see the Greek word here is actually hymnos. It means, in literally, to sit there and say, to sing a song in praise of. Praising God should be natural for a Christian. It should come as second nature. The very act of singing. Because we were given so much, our heart is now filled with such great gladness of joy. We alluded to the Old Testament earlier. David. We always read throughout the Bible that David was a man that God had his heart after. Why? Because every day David sang a song, and we could contribute most of the Psalms and throughout the book of Psalms to David and through other writers. David had that relationship. He not only sang every day, but he also wrote words that brought him closer to God. He used it for a different purpose. Psalm 28, verses 6 and 7. Blessed be Jehovah, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. Jehovah is my strength and my shield. My heart hath trusted in him, and I am helped. My heart hath trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song I will praise him. David not only sang the very purpose of what the song was about, but he had the very feeling of the words, and he meant what he wrote. How much more should we? That what he wrote was that it was in a foretelling of what was to come in here as the church. That it had an idea of what God was to institute. A common bond between each one of us. Love between each one of us. The idea of us coming together to sing praises to God as a family. Matter of fact, singing is one of the spiritual sacrifices that we are to give to God. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, which make confessions to his name. Do you see now why we do not have the musical instruments? We'll see even more here in a moment. That these things are to be a teaching tool. And that we are to meditate on the very words itself. This meditation on the very words and how we sing the psalms can be one of two reactions. We can either have a great praise to our God through the very avenue of song, by using our minds to concentrate on the words, to using our hearts to concentrate on the emotion and the heartfelt worship that we're supposed to have, or we have that second choice. We have the choice of just following along with the song in tempo. To not connect with the song that we have. To not share the emotional connection with our God. Throughout my daily reading this week, I've been reading the book of Malachi. And if you have the idea of the book of Malachi, that they did everything that they possibly could to check the box in their worship. They gave tithes. They gave sacrifices. But what did the children of Israel do in the book of Malachi that was so bad? They didn't give heart. They offered up secondary sacrifices. They gave God second best. Malachi 13 says, ye say also, behold, what a weariness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, said Jehovah of hosts. And ye have brought that which was taken by violence, the lame, the sick. But you bring an offering. But God asks a very important question. Should I accept? You see, from the very institution of man, God wants the heart. He wants the very act of worship to be heartfelt. He doesn't want our second best. He wants everything that we ever have. The emotion, the thought, and that which we have been so blessedly richly given. You see, to sing a song is to teach. We read in Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19 in our Bible verse that we just read a moment ago, that we are to admonish one another, that we are to instruct one another. Many psalms that we read throughout our hymnals are designed teaching and admonishing to live properly, to enjoy the blessings of a Christian life, teaching the connection that we should have with our God. My wife always hates it when I use her as an example, so I do it anyway. Some of our best song leaders here, I don't know how, maybe it's just for spite, but they pick the very songs that hit her at the very deepest of emotion. She cannot sing the second verse because she's actively weeping and holding back tears. Why? She had a connection with the song. And she had a connection with the words. And that these words mean something because of what was given for her. I feel the same. Sometimes a song is sung and I sit there and have to choke back. Because the very song hits me in my soul. When we sing songs to one another, it's not congregational singing. It's actually congregational teaching. The singing is a way that we encourage our members. And sometimes singing the song itself encourages us as well. So how do we get more out of singing, Brother Jeff? We have the idea and we know what it's about. It's to teach others. It's to give praises to God. It's to have that common core relationship with God. Maybe I've slacked on it. Maybe I've lost the meaning of it. Tell me. What do we do? Well, we kind of alluded to it a little bit, haven't we, throughout this whole sermon. We need to engage our mind as we sing. Let's not just go through the songbook and sing the words that are on the page, but let us read the words that we have with our heart. Why? Because that's what God wants. How can we learn and teach others if we truly do not understand what's in front of us? We must be careful that our enjoyment of singing is not because we like the tune. Most of my family, about half, is denominational. And they say that these musical instruments that accompany the worship aid in singing or aid in worship. Sometimes I go to denominational services because my child is a Christian school. And the music's so loud, I don't even hear anyone sing. And I think to myself, what a loss. Because some of the most beautiful words that ever could have been written are in songs, spiritual songs, and hymns. They don't understand because the music guides them and not the words. Therefore, we should give attention to the words that we sing. Let our minds focus on what they mean and what they mean to us. We alluded to the second thing that can help us sing, to engage our hearts. I told you of my wife. I told you of myself. But I bet I can sit here and say this evening that I bet each one of you, once a certain song comes out of that hymnal, that you break up, choke up, and it puts you back to a certain frame of mind that was one of the most happiest times of your life. And that's the connection of the heart. When we sing with grace in our hearts, Colossians 3:16. Making melody in our heart, Ephesians 5:19. But these things are conditional. Conditional in the eyes that if we engage our hearts. To sing without emotion is to sing without grace in our hearts. And sometimes we see it. We look around when we sing. And I don't know how in the world people can sing some of the most beautiful songs with no countenance on their face, no joy in their hearts. They're not connected. Proverbs 15:13 says, a glad heart will make a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow, the heart of the spirit is broken. Are our songs broken because our heart's not in it? To sing without emotion is sometimes hypocritical. And it was our Lord who said it best in Matthew 15:7-8. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. He was talking about the Pharisees at that certain Bible text. But the concept is there. brothers and sisters. I ask you when you sing, and I ask you when you give worship to our God. Do two things. Connect to the words you're reading and use your heart to connect with God. Conclusion this evening. Have we lost the joy of singing? I don't believe so in this congregation. But are we always on our number one game? No. I believe that if we could see ourselves as song leaders sometimes do, and believe it or not, we can see everything up here. We might re-examine our singing. We might re-examine our worship. I hope that we were by reminding ourselves of the purpose of singing, to give praise to God, to teach one another, to teach ourselves, and to have that connection with God, that we might rekindle an act of worship. An act of worship to our God. May David's attitude, a man after God's own heart, describes it this way in Psalms 104:33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Just a short turn, page over, 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. I once had a child at my congregation who had Down syndrome. She was in her 30s, but mentally she was probably 11. She couldn't sing the songbook. But occasionally we led one song. It was the song that they sing in their children's classes, Jesus Loves Me. Have you ever seen a child's face light up when the song comes on? Have you ever seen the gladness and tidings of joy that they have as they sing with us in a song of praise to our God? She couldn't even pronounce the words. She just gave sound. Questions I want to leave you with tonight. Which is more important when we sing? How we sound or how we feel? Are we really teaching and admonishing one another in song if we just whisper or mouth the words of our songbooks? Do we sing because we are happy? Or are we happy because we sing? Do we sing praises to God by ourselves throughout the week? And I challenge you on that last one. Because it's great to give worship to God on Sunday, the first Lord's Day. But how much greater would it be to sing and give praise to God every day of our life? If you're not a Christian tonight, the Bible tells us that we must hear the word, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of our old lifestyle. Confess him before others and be baptized. And then live faithfully from that point on. In a moment, we're going to give you that chance, if you're not a Christian, to come forward and take on Christ in baptism. But if you are a Christian this evening, and that we know the avenues of worship, the five avenues of worship that we do every Lord's Day, I challenge you to rekindle the fire that's in your hearts. To not only sing, but sing with your heart. As Ephesians 5:19 says. This evening, the opportunity has been afforded for those who are non-Christian and Christian alike to come forward as we stand in